ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
तन्मे भवं खलु विद्यापतिरङ्गजायम् अद्मापितश्च भवतोत्सवो विदेहि वीरभागं मम अभिमर्षतु चैद्य
ॐ
मायवान् मृगपति बलमम्बुदक्ष
थट्
therefore
may
by me,
Bhavan,
your good self,
Kalu,
indeed, Vitaha,
chosen,
Pati,
as husband,
Anga,
dear Lord,
Jayam,
as wife,
Atma,
myself,
Arpita,
offered,
Cha,
and
Bhavata,
to you,
Atra,
here,
Vibhu,
O
Omnipotent One,
Videhi,
please accept,
Ma,
never,
Vira,
of the hero,
Bhagam,
the portion,
Abhimarshatu,
should touch,
Chaidya,
Sisupal,
son of the king of Chedi,
Arat,
swiftly,
Gomayuvat,
like a jackal,
Mrigapati,
belonging to the king of animals,
the lion,
Balim,
the tribute,
Ambuja Aksha,
O lotus eyed one.
Here's the translation.
This is the first, second, third of the verses that in the letter that Rukmini Devi has sent to Krishna. Why did she send this letter to Krishna? Because it was arranged by her elder brother, Rukmini, for her to marry Sisupal, who was the king of
Chedi.
No, that was Jarasandha, the king of
Mata.
The king of Chedi. And his specific characteristic was that he was completely envious of Krishna. Completely envious, completely inimical to Krishna. And she, as she's explaining in these verses, I'll read the two or three verses prior to this. She had already given her heart to Krishna, and there it was organized, arranged for her to marry this person who was inimical to that person, Krishna, whom she completely, totally fallen in love with and had given herself to. So this was completely intolerable for her. Completely intolerable. And she would rather die, as she's going to explain, than to fall into the hands of this Sisupal, the king of Chedi, or the son of the king of Chedi. So before we read this translation, we'll read the verses just prior to this. So Sri Rukmini said in her letter, read by the Brahmana, O beauty of the worlds, having heard of your qualities which enter the ear of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having heard also of your beauty which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see. So she's heard about Krishna's qualities And she's heard about Krishna's beauty. And therefore, she says, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. O Mukunda, you are equal to only yourself in your lineage, your character, your beauty, your knowledge, your youthfulness, your wealth, and your influence. There is no one who is equal to you. O lion amongst men, what was the word?
Nrsinga.
O lion amongst men. What aristocratic, sober-minded, and marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come? And now this verse. Therefore, her conclusion, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. Please come swiftly, O Vibhu, O Omnipotent One, O All-Powerful One. Please come swiftly, O Almighty Lord, and make me your wife. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, let Sisupal never touch the hero's portion like a jackal stealing the property of a lion. Should a jackal, is he worthy? A jackal, a dog, a wild dog, is he worthy to take that which belongs to the king of beasts, the lion, the Singha? Hardly not. So she's comparing Sisupal to a jackal. And indeed, anyone who is has enmity with Krishna, with God, he's a dog, a jackal, an animal. So these were Rukmini's words up to this point. Om Ginatuminandasya Janasana Surakaya Saksus Militan Zena Tatsmaya Sivitavainama. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Zenavutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Tatati Sapandantikam Vansha Kapatubhyascha Kripasindhu Vayivaja Patitanam Papanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So here in the Bhagavatam, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Sukadev Goswami, Suta Goswami, by the mercy of Srila Vyasadev, by the mercy of great acharya teachers such as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Srila Sridhar Swami, Srila Jiva Goswami, by the mercy of these great teachers, we are hearing the greatest of devotees of Krishna, Rukmini Devi, express her mind, what is in her heart, what is filling her consciousness. Because day after day, as we live in this world, we are hearing materialistic people express their mind and their consciousness. And what is on their minds? There is eating, there is sleeping, there is mating, there is defending in different forms. That is all practically speaking. Practically speaking, we do not hear, if we are in the world, the materialistic, mundane world, we do not hear a transcendental sentence throughout the day. We hear only to do with this world. And if we hear things, if people tell us their minds, and their minds have only to do with this material world, what is our fate? Because what enters the ear, what enters the consciousness through the gates of the body, the eyes, the nose, the ears, the sense of touch, and the mouth, Whatever enters, these are the gates which allow us to interact with the outside world. And if what enters our consciousness through these gates is mundane, it is material, it is ultimately foolish, what then is our fate? Because our consciousness will be filled with these things, because what is coming in. Our consciousness will be filled with materialistic thoughts, with materialistic desires. And then what is our fate? Our fate is that we will attempt to enjoy the material world, fill our consciousness with desires, use our human life to strive to become happy on the material, sensual platform, mental platform also. And then, as we breathe our last breath, and this will happen to everyone, when we breathe our last breath, perhaps then only will we understand that I have completely wasted 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years of my life. Completely useless, because everything I have gathered I will leave behind. So this is such the negative, how useless material existence is such a simple and obvious point, an undeniable point. Undeniable. But what is our alternative? And here we get into the more difficult part. What is our alternative? We have to live in this world. We have to do this. We have to do that. What is our alternative? And the alternative, the only alternative, instead of, because on one side, hearing mundane sound vibrations is on one side, but on the other side, what else is there? And the other thing is, there is transcendental spiritual sound vibrations. And when they enter our ear, they enter our heart. And by the mercy of these transcendental sound vibrations that do not emanate, they do not come from the material world, and in fact they have nothing to do with the material world. What we're hearing by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the great acharyas is a message from the spiritual world, from the eternal realm, from in this case, from Dhoka, Dham, from the spiritual kosha, the spiritual portion, division of the spiritual world, wherein everyone loves Krishna in a specific mood. We're getting the chance to have that enter our ears. And the result of that is that a different type of desire, the seed of a different type of a desire, a different quality desire, will be planted within our heart. Adishtaya. Adishtaya manastayam vishaya upasedate. Because according to what is alive in our consciousness, what desires are alive in our consciousness, in the subtle body, in our mind, that will carry us to our next birth. Sadatad bhava bharata. What does sada mean?
Always.
This is the rule. Takvadayam punajan. The next birth. Yam yam vapi svanam bhavam chajan yante kaleram tam tam vibhati kyantaya sadatad bhava bharata. When we are leaving this world, the quality of thoughts that populate our consciousness at that crucial time That determines our next breath. And if we have our consciousness filled with I want this, I want that, what about this person in my family, what, how is he going to get along without me, how is she going to, and who's going to take care of my, who's going to feed the dog, and what about my business, and what about my country and my pet parrot and my pet fish, what to speak of my beloved children who are all crying, standing around me. I know one devotee from a Sindhi Brahmin family who his great grandmother left this world. She was a very good devotee, and when she was elderly she was alone staying with the family. And while she was every day she would get up very early, she would go to a nearby river, she would bathe and come and read Srimad Bhagavatam, come back. Very elderly, but very pious. And what she would always say all the time was, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham. So one day, after going to the river to take a bath, she came back, and as usual, she dressed herself in her white sari. And she told her grandchildren, which was this devotee's father's brother, she told her grandchildren, including that one, to please place a white cloth on the ground. And she was going to lie down on that cloth. And she told everyone in the family to gather around her and chant, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, and nothing else. And this devotee's uncle, his father's brother, and she had a very deep and affectionate relationship. She loved him and he loved her so much. So she gathered all the family around, she lied down, and all the family members were chanting Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham. And that boy, this devotee's uncle, started crying because he knew that his grandmother would be leaving this world. And she immediately said, take him out. Because how much, when our beloveds are crying, how much that pulls on our heart. Oh, I'm causing him pain. Oh, who will take care of him? I won't be here. I want to take care of him. I want to look over him. I want to make sure he grows up to be strong and healthy, etc. And she said, take him out. Not in a hard way, but she was clear in her mind. Take him out. Because if I leave this world thinking about him instead of Radhe Sham, then I will have to come back. And she was clear that she did not want to come back to this world. She wanted to go to Radhe Sham. She wanted to go to Goloka Vrindavan. So which one of us will be so clear and so strong at that time when it is our turn to leave this world, so clear and so strong that we will only want to hear the sound of Radhe Sham, Radhe Sham, Radha Balabha, Hare Krishna, Gornitai, and nothing else, and want to break this connection of attachment and desire to the material world. Who will be so strong? That takes a cultivation, Krishna Anushilanam, a cultivation for our entire life, not at the last moment of my life. Oh yes, I'll chant Hare Krishna and go back to God. It won't work like that unless we have cultivated an inc- increasingly strong desire to be with Krishna and to not have anything to do with this material world, despite our unfinished business, despite the ones we have attachment to. No, now I'm going to Krishna. Who will be that strong? No one, unless they have seriously and sincerely cultivated the desire to be with Krishna, to love Krishna, to serve Krishna and those dear to Krishna. No one can do that unless they have made this the focus of their lives. Komana macharet pragyo, from the very beginning, as soon as we understand this truth, the nature of the material world, a Brahma Bhuvanaloka Purna Avatuna Arjuna, from the topmost position, which means the most facility to enjoy, to the lowest position, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. It is certified by Krishna himself. Certified that this place is a place of misery, like it or not, you cannot do anything about it. It is certified by Krishna. I don't like it. Irrelevant. I do like it. Irrelevant. I accept the universe as it is. You have to. What's you accept it as it is? Big deal. Who cares? If you don't accept the universe as it is, does that change anything? We will change the laws of material nature. Foolish. So the prime cultivation of spiritual consciousness is just this: hearing transcendental sound vibrations from the spiritual realm. And the great acharyas have given us this facility to hear about Krishna. When Rukmini Devi opens her heart, because it is rare that a person of depth will open their heart to us. There are superficial people in this world that they have a direct line between what's in their mind and their mouth. There's nothing in between. And then... But a deep person, a grave person, is the things that are most dear to him, he keeps in his heart. And it's not that he will never speak these things, but he'll speak them amongst those he is intimate with. Because they are worthy, trustworthy of hearing what is there. So Rukmini Devi, and even the last verse over here in her prayers, the Brahmin who has carried the message from Rukmini Devi to Krishna, he breaks the seal in front of Krishna of her letter to show him that he has not shown this important message to anyone else because it is just meant for him. And yet, this is a message between the greatest devotee and Krishna himself. It is the depth of the heart of a great, great devotee. And we, somehow or another, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas, again, from Sukadev to Sutta to Srila Vyasadev to Vishwanath to Sri Jiva, Sanatana Goswami, Sridhar Swami, we are getting to listen in. Although we may not have much in the way of qualification, we are fortunate enough to listen in and hear the depths of thought of a great devotee. And this is entering our heart to our ears. And the desire plants again the seeds of desires that, yes, I know the nature of the material world. I don't want that. I want this. I want this. I want to develop my love for Krishna. I may be very unqualified. I may have this problem, that problem. But this is what I actually want. And then, actually speaking, if we take care of the seed, and how do you take care of a seed? Okay, but a seed, not that kind of a seed, any seed. Water and
sunlight.
And sunlight, this is the nourishment. And what else?
Surrounding God.
Protection from upasaka, in the words of Kaviraj Goswami. Weeds. And then if it's cared for and protected, nourished and protected, given sufficient sun and water, then it will grow. The sun light, in one sense, is easy in this Krishna conscious example, because Krishna Surya Sam Mayahaya Andhakar. We just have to keep in the light of Krishna. Krishna light. And the water is Ihan Mali Nitya Sechi Shravanadi Dharma. The hearing and chanting of Krishna's holy name. So let's hear the heart of Rukmini Devi. She says here, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. She has given herself, not whimsically. I'm a devotee here, and then I walk out the door, and I become Paka Badmas, a complete rascal, just selfish, self-centered, materialistic. No, she has given herself to Krishna and is not going to withdraw it. Completely surrendered to Krishna. And then she says, please come swiftly, O Almighty Lord, and make me your wife. Let us have a full relationship. Come swiftly. There are many kinds of trees in this world. This is a bat tree. What is it called when you want something to happen swiftly? You cannot tolerate that it takes a long time. Of course, as we get older, hopefully we learn patience. But what is it when we need it? Something immediately, just like air. If you're underwater for a long time, and then you come up, and when you're under the water, all you're thinking is, when can I get that air that my life depends on? What's that called when you...
Urgent.
Yeah, what else?
Desperation.
Huh?
Desperation.
Huh?
Desperation.
That should be. Now we're getting even more intense. Urgent is one thing. Desperation is even deeper.
Life.
Huh?
Life or death.
Yeah. It's sad. Desperation is even deeper and vital. It's essential for me to exist. If I don't have this, I cannot. And she's going to say this later on. If you do not come, my life is finished. This is the heart of a devotee. This is what Mahaprabhu taught. And this is what call and we'll hear that Krishna is going to come immediately. because the love of his devotee is pulling him and he cannot resist that. He is all powerful, but he becomes the servant lover, controlled by the love of his devotee. This is Krishna. And not only that, bhakta, bhakti jana priya, he becomes equally controlled by the devotee, the love of the devotee of his devotees. This is Krishna. And when we hear the devotees reveal their hearts, then we'll hear Krishna, because we have to get to know Krishna. What is really there? We have to know, because we in the material world, perhaps in our arrogance, we're not sure we want to give ourselves to Krishna. It is arrogance, because we're already completely controlled. We're already completely serving the material energy, which is Krishna's external energy. Still serving Krishna, but indirectly. And we're thinking, should I really give myself to Krishna? Should I really do it? Should I really do that? And then we give a little bit and then we pull it back quickly. But what happens if he doesn't take care of me? But this is the heart. This is the heart of a devotee. I am desperate to get the shelter of your service. And nothing else will satisfy me. Not like little children where they're crying and crying and they want their mother to come and the mother's busy with something. And what does the mother do? Okay, mothers, admit it. What do you do? What do you do first? You're busy, the child wants something, wants you. Huh? Yeah, you give something else. You give a little rattle, you give a little food, you give a bottle. You nowadays, what do people do? They just turn on the television and then ruin the child's mind, but at least I don't have to come. Fill the child's mind with so much garbage that they're caught with it for the rest of their life. But never mind. I'm busy right now. And if the child doesn't really want his mother, then he'll be satisfied with the rattle, the this, the that. But if he keeps crying, insisting, then the mother must come. She has to come. And Prabhupada therefore said, he said we should chant Krishna's names, the Hare Krishna mantra, like a baby crying for a mother. In the same way, but not the baby crying for the mother who's going to accept the rattle, but the baby who wants his mother and he doesn't want anything else and won't settle for anything else, either pain or hungry or this or that, or he just wants the security of the mother's embrace. He wants his mother. You can give him to some other Mataji to hold, still cry. You give him to another one. He wants mother. And as Rukmini is crying like that, then Krishna must come. Read the next verse as well. But look at our condition. You know, we're sitting here because we want Krishna, to be servants of Krishna to different degrees. So what is Krishna going to do through his energy? Where, oh Krishna, please come, I want to serve you, I want to be your devotee. So is Krishna going to immediately with the first cry say yes? No, he's not. What is he going to do? Give us a rattle, give us a TV, give us wealth, give us one distraction after the next, and to see what's actually in our heart. What do we actually want? So therefore Mahaprabhu prays, Nadanam Najananda Sundarin Kavita Vajavidisya Kamani Mama Janamani Janmanishvare Bhavadhad Bhakti Ahaituki Tvedi. All the things he doesn't want. Nadanam. I don't want wealth. Najanam. Not followers, even more subtle. Pratishtha. Everyone's saying, oh, what a great devotee, what a great this. Is that what he wants? What I want? Well, he'll give it to me if that's what I want, but he won't give himself. He'll give me wealth, but he won't give himself. Nasundarim kavitam. Do I want beautiful followers? Do I want to become a great poet? Subtle. That's the most subtle sense gratification, practically. Self is subtle. To be a great, enjoy the subtleties of poetry, of fine music. These are the lures or the rattles that Krishna will give us. What do you actually want? And how about the ultimate one? Janmani, Janmanishre, liberation. No more suffering. Do we come to Krishna just because we're tired of suffering, the miseries and pains and the frustrations of materialistic life? That tendency is strong. Well, I'll give you that then, Krishna will say. But he won't give himself. His self means his service. A product of love. Want to serve the other. So Mahaprabhu is teaching us, Nadanam, Nadanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Va, Lagadisha, Kamani, Mama, Janmani, Janmani, I'll even willingly, happily take birth again and again in this material world, no desire for liberation even. So he's teaching us the ways of devotional service, the ways of love, the ways of bhakti, which are so powerful. The way of bhakti that Rukmini Devi is speaking about, that the Brijavasis are speaking about, acting on, especially the Prajagopis, they reveal to us the depths of the way of bhakti that is so powerful that it controls the Almighty God. Do you want to hear this, or is it too much? You mean that I have to give up? I have to just love Krishna, but what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Mahaprabhu says, no. If you want those things, that's up to you. It's your freedom. But you won't have Krishna to this degree. It's a gradual process. We can't artificially just go like this, because if we artificially go like this, we'll artificially go like this later on. But yet, we should not be confused about either what the goal is or what the process actually is. Anya vilasita sanyam jnanakamanavrita anukulena krishna anushilanam ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram. Oh Lord! Oh, ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj, I am. This is who I am. Kinkara. What does Kinkara mean? Servant. This is who I am. I'm just a servant. Here I am in the material world making believe I'm a master. And all I end up doing is serving anyway. This is my jivaras. This is my sarup. My position, I am a servant. This is it. I'm never going to be anything more or less. I'm a servant. You just It depends on who we which side, which way do we want our service to be accepted. Somehow or another, sometimes the question comes, how did we come into the material world? You know, were we there? Where were we? How did this happen? And Mahaprabhu says, somehow or another. And that's really, it doesn't make any difference if you're drowning in the ocean. Are you going to spend your time thinking about, how was it that I got here again? Did I fall off the boat? Did someone push me off the boat? Did I drop from the sky? And you're going to be sitting like this as you go under? You're going, no, here I am. It's clear. I'm in the water. I'm in the ocean. And there's danger at every step. Padam padam ya viparam na te sham. Patita mam vishame bhavambayo kripaya tava para pankaja kripaya. By your mercy, please, stita duli, situate myself as just a speck of dust in your service, at your lotus feet. So the verse before that, this is what I don't want, but this is what I do want. So we have to get both clear in our mind. What don't we want and what do we want? And of course it's not black and white, but under guidance. Say if I have material desires, just making believe I don't have material desires, just that doesn't make them just poof disappear. From now on I'm not gonna have any material desires. It doesn't work like that. But under guidance we should learn how to live our life according to the rules and regulations and the guidance of Bhakti Yoga, that our life will take us that way. And maybe not directly like that, but it will go in that way as opposed to that. I can't point that way, because that way is the same as that way in this case. We have to learn how to live our life so that we can transform our consciousness, so that we become actual devotees. So by hearing all this, listen to what she's saying. I've chosen you as my husband, I surrender myself to you. Please come swiftly, Almighty One, and make me your wife. And the wife she's in the position of service. Let me just read Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on this verse. Because there's no commentary in our BBT edition. Rukmini says, since I'm so attracted to you, I therefore, because this is from the previous verses, I therefore have chosen you as my husband. It is just now, but from the very beginning I have selected only you, not whimsically jumping from one to another. Both my body and soul have been offered to your lotus feet. I have sent this letter to inform you of my mental state. If you accept me, I will maintain my life. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is revealing her mind, the mind of a most exalted devotee. If you accept me, I will maintain my life, and if you reject me, I will burn myself up. I will not give myself to anyone else. If you don't accept me, O Krishna, then I'll find some other way to have my happiness in this material world. No, this is not her mood. I will not give myself to anyone else, even if Brahma himself comes here and commands me. This is what it means to be Sharanagata. To be fully having taken shelter of Krishna. You can do with me as you like, but I have no other shelter than you. Now here's Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, expert at extracting more and more sweetness from the verses. But Krishna may accept. this offering of yourself to me is not unmotivated, because you want me as your husband. It's not like you're just serving me. You want something from me. You want me to accept you as your husband. So what you're saying is not unmotivated. Krishna, he's explaining the verse in this way. It is not unmotivated like King Bali's offering. He just gave me the universe. He was the king of the universe. He gave everything and he did not ask for anything. So you have an external motive. You want something for yourself. You want me as your husband. Rukmini said, "True, my offering of myself to you is not like the surrender of Bali Maharaj, which was nirbhav, without intense love. Oh, Almighty One, please accept me as your wife. Just as when a person gives food to someone else and says, 'You should eat this,' such a natural self-offering is understood to be superior to a non-motivated offering, because it is affected by real love." Her attachment to Krishna was not at all selfish. It was simply based on her love for Krishna, and therefore it is faultless. That means it was based on her desire to serve Krishna, to please Krishna, and that's perfect. She continues her reply. "You should quickly send back the Brahmana with a reply so that I know whether you will accept me or not. Shishupal should not take the share meant for you. If Shishupal suddenly comes and touches this body of mine, and my hope of attaining you will be destroyed because something impure cannot be offered to Krishna. And this body will burn to ashes. And what fire? Vrahabhav, the fire of separation from you. So now what's maintaining my life is the hope that we will be together and I will have the opportunity to serve you. But if Sisupal touches me, there will be no opportunity for me to serve you anymore. And then my body will burn into ashes by the fire of my inability to be with you. Separation. My fear, however," and then she says, because she's very, very intelligent, "my fear, however," so that's not my fear, that I will burn to ashes, because who is that centered on? If I feel that I will die, who is that centered on? Who's the center? Me. But she is a lover. She loves Krishna. And everything is actually, despite what it may appear, it is all centered around Krishna's pleasure. So therefore she says, "My fear, however, is that you will lose your prestige if Shishupal comes and takes me. Like a jackal stealing from a lion, his impudence towards you will be broadcast everywhere and you could not stop him. And people will say bad things about you, and that will be intolerable for me." Again, she's only concerned with Krishna. The address, "O Lotus-Eyed One," Ambujaksha implies, at that time, "O Lotus-Eyed One, even though my body is on fire," from what? "The intense love in separation, I will not experience any pain because I will be meditating upon your lotus feet." So we want to learn what love of Krishna actually is. We hear this from the Bhagavatam, but we hear this. So just imagine the kind of ecstasy that comes from meditating on serving the lotus feet of Krishna with full love. Just imagine the kind of ecstasy that comes from that it makes the burning of the body into essence insignificant. That's so much. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Not very much time left. Any questions? No? Okay. Comments? Yes.
This love for Krishna that we want to develop, it seems like sometimes when we're begging for it, if we haven't got it, and Krishna gives us a little bit of mercy, that helps us go on. But without it, could we go on? Like, has Krishna always got us under direction?
Does he always?
Well, can we actually go on without his mercy?
No, we cannot go on without his mercy, but the difficulty in this one is we cannot tell him what kind of mercy he should give us. Because sometimes we want the mercy of the flower garland only. And when he gives us the mercy of the gada, we don't have the club, we don't like that kind. To remove our pride, to remove our arrogance. So yes, we cannot go on with that. We are existing only on the mercy of Krishna. Whether we know it or not, accept it or not, we are here simply by the mercy of Krishna. So if we want to increase that mercy and desires, so we ask him for it, and then we accept we accept his mercy in whatever form it comes, which is not easy to do, but it pushes us deeper, or it knocks us over. And if we happen to get knocked over by the specific kind of mercy Krishna gives us, we just have to get up and try again.
He seems to knock us soft enough so we can get up.
Huh?
He seems to knock us just like not quite hard enough so we can get up and go on anyway.
So you can ask him, say, is that how hard you can hit me? I'm so tough. Okay, see what happens. But I'm not going to pray like that. I've already had enough.
But if we wanted to go on in the other mood, in the nice mood, then it still has to come from the mood. We can't.
Excuse me? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Like, if we did want that mood of love to develop instead of him giving us his club.
No, it's the club part or the flower part isn't our business. That's his business. How he reciprocates with us. Our part is to hold on to him. So we basically mind our own business. And not Krishna's business, but our own business, and not everyone else's business. You know that accounting program, Mayab? You ever hear of that? MYOB, mind your own business. Good advice. My business is to hold on to the lotus feet of Krishna and beg him always for mercy and chant his holy names and try to serve him regardless of anything else. That's my business. Try to somehow or another give him some pleasure. That's devotee, that's surrender. Is it easy to do that? Is it? Not for me. But It's not easy, but we have to want to. This is the process to learn how to hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, regardless of anything. And if we taste the sweetness, increasingly taste the sweetness of the flavor of Krishna's lotus feet, and the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, we'll see that all the externals are really superficial. And that's the satisfaction that we've been looking for. That's the shelter we've been looking for. Not in the material world. That is real. Chappi satyam nata eva maya. Krishna is real. He's not Maya. He's not of the same quality as Maya. He's Satyam, he's truth.
Yeah, I think that was basically one of the essence of the question. Is it only through that neck, that sweetness that he reveals to us, that we can go on?
Again, I'm stressing at this point. See, because I'm afraid to say yes, because then you say, well, it's your fault, Krishna, you haven't made it sweet enough for me, so therefore I can't go on.
No,
okay. But anyway, you tricked me cleverly into saying what I wouldn't say anyway. But my understanding is, although what you're saying is true, we should keep our consciousness focused on who we are and what our service is, because we are servants, and we should try to serve. And then how Krishna reciprocates, and if we are fixed in that, just like when the young child, not the Kali Yuga child, but the young, usual, old-fashioned, natural child, if he gets some punishment from his parents, it's not that he doesn't lessen their love. You don't see this in the West, but you see it in India still, where, you know, you, not with children, but with adults, you know, you chastise them and they thank you. They thank you, well, otherwise how will I learn? So if one's shelter and security in that shelter is strong enough, then one won't see any difference, in fact, because it's just an expression of love. How else will I learn unless you teach me? And you can't only teach with lollipops. So that's the meaning of Tateinu Kampam Susimik Shamano Bunjaneva. Do you know that verse? You should find it. Where is it? In Lord Brahma's prayers. Yeah. 14th chapter of the 10th canto. I'm holding on to you. I see. I'm praying to you with full heartedness, regardless of what happens to me. Just two sides of the same thing. Just like in the love of the parents is expressed by sometimes like this and sometimes like that. So if the relationship is thick enough, both are seen as love. Okay, now it's after 9. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam.